Oh, Heavenly Father, please do speak through me and into our hearts. And Lord God, may that make an effect, a deep, profound effect in us, and draw us close to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, peace. Peace. We can be kind of flippant sometimes about that. Yo, dudes, peace. Peace, dudes. You know? And yet that word is so significant and so profound. And as I wrote in your sermon notes, as the key thought, peace is essential for an abundant life in Christ. And it's the result of great work, struggles, sacrifice, and self-discipline, but also the result of an intimate, deep relationship with God. So my questions to start out with, to kind of set the stage, set the tone, is what is it that stresses you out? What in your life causes you a constant source of anxiety? Do you struggle with chronic anxiety and or a high level of stress? And how does that stress manifest itself? Do you get headaches? Maybe even migraines? Or does it hit you somewhere else? Maybe heart or stomach or back? People under significant stress often suffer from, and I looked this one up in a medical article, lowered immune system, so they get colds and sick more often. Insomnia, weight gain, heart disease, depression, ulcers, and muscle pain, back, neck, shoulder pain. This is how stress can manifest itself, and it is epidemic in our culture. In your life, has that stress grown to become toxic? Do you even struggle with a disease? Cancer? Heart disease? Autoimmune disease? Have you ever considered that stress might have been a key factor in the disease? Because in a high number of cases, it most certainly is a factor. Stress is not bad. We actually require a certain level of stress to function, and especially to function at a high level. And when there is stress, it's a vital life skill that we must learn. When there is a real threat, stress can actually save our lives. However, how we manage stress is a vital life skill that we must learn and learn to do well. It literally can make the difference between a short or a lengthy lifespan. And certainly is the difference between an unhealthy, unsatisfying life and one that is abundant and thriving. How we manage stress is huge. So the heart of the message and what I want to speak about today is this peace that God offers to us. And right there in that key text, and it's the memory verse for the month too, and one that's well worth memorizing, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Isaiah 26:3. I actually like the Spanish version. Tú guardarás en completa paz aquel cuyo pensamiento en ti persevera. And it literally says, you will keep in perfect peace the person whose thoughts persevere on you. Are our thoughts throughout the day persevering, fixed on God? That is the secret, says Isaiah, to perfect peace. And then you tie that in with another wonderful text, another wonderful verse, two verses that if you don't have memorized. And when I talk about memorizing scripture, it's because as we memorize it, we can then just throughout our day meditate on it. And it's like just oil and healing oil just flowing literally on our minds and through us. Scripture memorization is a mighty tool for a rich walk with God. That next verse would be Philippians 4:6-7. And he says, do not be anxious about anything. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the result? And the peace of God that passes understanding. What kind of peace would that be? A peace that goes beyond understanding. It sinks so deep into the subconscious. And the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Oh, now that would be awesome. I would love to live that way. And so prayer is a big part of having that peace from God. But how many of us are guilty of saying, prayer, I don't have time to pray. Really? How sad. Think about it. And by the way, I am the chief of sinners here. You want to talk to somebody who knows about anxiety and stress? And I mean, it's in my DNA. I inherited it. My mom, if she's listening later to this sermon, you know, she'll just acknowledge, yep, 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 yeah. And so if anybody feels like I'm pointing a finger, three of you are pointing back at me. Too busy to pray? How sad. You know, and it's sad because life simply cannot function at a healthy level. And we can't thrive in God except within the confines of an intimate relationship with God, and He won't have it any other way. He says in Isaiah, there is no peace for the wicked. Nah, am I wicked? No. It's like a spectrum. You know, over here is the wicked, and there's absolutely no peace, says God, and then here, there is ultimate peace. Peace that goes beyond understanding for those who are in a right relationship with Him and an intimate relationship with Him, a healthy relationship. Where are you at in that spectrum? Are you here in the middle or leaning this way, that way? The goal being, if we could just, on that continuum, just keep working towards that perfect peace by working towards this intimacy with God. The promise is that we will have it. For too many of us, though, we've chosen to fill our lives with so many things. Chosen is, I picked out that word, and it's very significant. We have chosen to fill our lives with so many things that there's now so little room for our relationship with God. If you treated your spouse like you treat God, would your spouse want to stay married with you? See you once a week, honey? Sorry, I don't have time for you, honey. Yeah, some other time, honey. And God says, you have filled up your life with so many things, tasks and toys and responsibilities and people and work and hobbies and TV and social media time. And so you have so little time for me. And he asked, to what end? Are you happy? Are you fulfilled? Are you at peace? Or are you restless, stressed out, frustrated, exhausted? And Jesus is saying in this moment, my invitation is this. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Jesus says, I will give you peace. I will lead you beside quiet waters and restore your soul. In me you will find life and life abundant, Jesus says. That is the invitation. So what does that look like? How can I do that in practice? How can I spend more time with God? For some of us, the honest answer is our whole life has to be. Our weekly schedule needs a serious overhaul. It needs to change, and to change significantly. You ever heard of that definition of insanity? What is insanity? It is to continue to do the same things, but expecting a different result. We just can't continue the same way, or we're going to have the same result. Stressed out, overworked, sick. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? I rework my whole life. You don't understand my life. And really, it's like a cancer patient. Doctors just told you got cancer. I don't have time for chemotherapy or right. Now, I read an article, vitamin E helps. And so I'm just going to take some more vitamin E. That's what I'm going to do, doctor. It's like an alcoholic saying, here's what I'm going to do. One less beer a day. That'll get me there. No. If life is out of control, and we got to be honest, how bad is the stress? And hey, if you're somebody who you've got it all together and manage stress great, you've got that peace, please teach the course. I'll gladly be a participant in the class, okay? Really. But if you're like me and anxiety, stress, hey, things have got to change, and they got to change significantly. All right, the good news is I do have some suggestions here right from the scripture, because what I did, just like I did last week, looked up all the scripture verses that pertain to hope. This week I looked up all the scripture verses that pertain to peace, and from that, just okay, here is the sermon outline, and it's like a guide. And if significant changes are going to happen, it's not just, okay, I'm going to listen attentively in a sermon and then walk out of here and then what? No, it's like a guide. And I've got all those reference verses, look them up. I mean, if you want change, if you want peace, join me. Join me in making changes. So, let's go through the sermon notes. All right. The substance of peace, then. Well, love is essential. This is the starting point. And first and foremost, love from God. I don't want to be too goofy here. And close your eyes, okay? Close your eyes. If God were standing before you, okay, you're in God's presence, he's standing before you, what would be the look on his face as he looked at you? Imagine, what would be the look on his face? Okay, you can open your eyes. Did you imagine God as a stern God? Did you imagine God with a frustrated look on his face? A look of consternation? Or did you imagine God with a look on his face like he was just looking at his precious little child? You ever seen... Have you experienced that with somebody, you know, whether a niece or a nephew or a little kid you just love to death, a son or daughter, grandson? What's the look on your face when that little kid comes running to you with a smile? What would be the look on your face? Wouldn't it just be absolute joy and pleasure? As you imagined God looking at you, was that the expression that you imagined on his face? See, God wants a relationship with you where you understand that that's what he wants in a relationship with you. That's the way he wants to love you. Now, for some of us, hey, maybe that consternation, it's there for a reason, and that's why we feel it. We all have a relationship with God. Everybody in the world has a relationship with God. He's the creator of us all, right? But for some of us, it is an estranged relationship, a distant relationship. Maybe there is even animosity, and more from our end. I'm upset with him, or I reject him. God wants a right relationship, and he has done everything to express his love to us. Oh my goodness, even giving his son up as a sacrifice for us, that we might be reconciled and be in that relationship. Do you understand how much God loves you? As you draw close to him, that love will become so precious. The goal being that when I close my eyes and imagine God in front of me, and it's not just a feeling, it's a certainty that he is saying, this is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. And he's got that look of joy on his face. That's the goal here. If we can experience that love with God, let me tell you, the peace that will come from it, it will be truly a peace that goes beyond understanding. It will be incredible. So, love. Starts with love. That's essential. Love from God. Love for and from others. Okay? And so, I mean, as we also develop right relationships with each other and really get into fellowship and here in the church, but Christian fellowship, and I hope, dear God, that our homes would be filled with that kind of fruit of the Spirit there, love and joy and peace. And as we love and receive love, the peace we'll get. And then loving ourselves. I mean, if Jesus said, you know, the second greatest command is to love our neighbor as ourself, somebody wisely pointed out, well, and if you don't love yourself, if you're filled with self-hate or self-disgust, well, how are you going to love your neighbor as yourself? You know? So, yeah, some of us, we need to learn to love each other, ourselves. And again, that comes from that right relationship. When we understand his forgiveness, so much of that self-hate or self-disgust can just fall away. So love is essential. And then through Christ's sacrifice, we find peace. We are reconciled to God, and we find peace because of his sacrifice. Isaiah says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. Through his sacrifice, we have peace. Through a saturated spirit, Romans 8:6 says, the mind governed by the flesh. Is your mind governed by the flesh or by the spirit? Because the mind governed by the spirit, Paul says, is death. I'm sorry, the mind governed by the flesh, or governed by the sinful nature in some translations, is death. There's death at work in my mind. If my mind is governed by my sinful nature, it's like death is controlling. But the mind controlled by the spirit is life and peace. So we need to be saturated with the spirit. Are you overworked and overstressed or overflowing? I love that phrase. Sandy Parrott sent an email a while back and had the devotional, and that's what the point of the devotional, overworked or overflowing. And that's been like a mantra to me ever since. That's what I'm overflowing. I want to so tighten my connection to God and be so saturated with his spirit, my spirit saturated with him. Flowing. And why are we so busy? Well, it's because I got so much to do. You know, God can do more in 3 seconds than I can do in 3 lifetimes. So if I just focus on being tight with him and have this deep, intimate relationship with him, and that's my central focus, that's just, you know, and all this busyness and everything. And what did he say? Seek first his kingdom. Literally, what he said is, all these other things take care of you. But all these things, you've got God on your side, and he's actually for you, and fighting for you, fighting battles, and he's behind the scenes doing, orchestrating amazing things, and all of a sudden, boom, I could never. Working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for years I never could have come. Why? alone. We all have a relationship with God. Is it a right relationship with God? Well, we can't have a right relationship with God if we're living in obedience with Him. Think about it, parents. That little kid can be so cute and he can have a smile on his face. Just that he's kind, done exactly the opposite of what you told him to do, and he's just smiling. Do you have a right relationship with God? No. Disregarding His word and ditching Him and going the opposite direction, and there is no peace. Except that we're walking right in obedience. None of us can claim ignorance of what His will is. All right there. Well, I don't read it. If we read it, the world still can be going to hell in a handbasket. And then the chaos all around us. And yet inside is perfect peace. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. God help us to get there. Letter E. We can establish peace through threefold forgiveness. First from God, and then toward others, and from others, and then toward myself, which is the hardest to come by. And when you agree with me, oftentimes I can accept that God forgives me. Maybe even somebody tells me they forgive me, but then forgiving myself, isn't that the hardest thing? But I love this forgiveness from God. I love what Jeremiah said. Actually, what God said through Jeremiah. God said, I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. And check this out. And he says, and they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I provide for it. Could you imagine being in awe and trembling at the realization of the prosperity and peace that God has brought into your life? That sounds awesome. Yeah, I'd love that, God. And then freedom from fear. I mean, if there's no fear, stress, anxiety, I mean, fear is the root of all stress and anxiety, isn't it? And so the Apostle John says, with perfect love casts out all fear. And so, if the perfect God and I are in this right relationship, this deep relationship, and it says He will cast out all the fear. And it's not just, I started to write in my sermon notes, you know, it's not the absence of fear, as, you know, actually, it is the absence of fear. He's cast it out. No, and there's another text that talks about that. Leviticus 26:6, he says, I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. It's the absence of fear. God wants to completely take it out of our lives, out of our hearts. If there's no fear, there's no stress, there's no anxiety. Man, if I can have a tight relationship with God and He takes all fear out of me, that would be so cool. Letter G, through my delight in trials. Now that sounds bizarre. Peace comes from delight in trials? Yeah. Are you sick? No. That's what the Apostle Paul says. And he says, that's why for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. What? You delight? Yeah, he says, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. But he says, for when I am weak, because in that context, the way he's writing, God's grace is so powerful and so powerfully present and in fact only increases in the midst of the crises and of the struggles. Because of that increase of grace, physically speaking, I might be weak, but inside I am strong. I actually delight in weaknesses because they bring me closer to God and I experience more of His grace, and that grace is phenomenal. Wow. Now that is ultimate mature faith. God, please help us have that depth of faith, yes. And then through prayer. Again, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So do not be anxious about anything. And it sounds like a command. God is commanding. Don't be anxious about anything. But by prayer and petition, by prayer, with thanksgiving actually, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Simple as that. Easy to live out? I find it isn't. Because of my own stupidity, honestly. But it is. And so it's Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace, perfect peace. The little version I memorized it was, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast on you because he trusts in you. And then Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I know there's a lot of sermon notes there. It's a lot to think about. I'm sure you don't have it all memorized. You don't have it all figured out. But in this outline, I present to you a practical biblical guide for developing a true and lasting peace. Again, is there anybody else here that's sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you worn down from anxiety? Do you want lasting, real, and healthy solutions to stress and anxiety and its toxicity? God's answers are right there. Isaiah 26:3, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Now for many of us, it's going to require drastic change, nothing less than a complete reconstruction of our whole life, that we might live into God's word so that we might have intimacy with Him. And lasting peace. That's so easy. Amen. God bless yourself. Prayer is to be primary and essential. Let's pray together. I have an update for some of you, and you're not aware of the situation. Most every one of you then would know, at least from sight, little Christy, who's in the electric wheelchair, and she is a central figure in this congregation and our family of faith. Bad news. So Thursday night, she had a horrible night, was up all night throwing up.